Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, just jumping in here to give you a wee snippet of Culture Vulture, our pop culture podcast. So if you want a break from the news, you should jump over and subscribe to it.
A huge thank you to Neon, our favourite New Zealand streaming service, for making this episode of Culture Vulture possible. Kia ora everybody and welcome to another episode of Culture...
We were just talking about
my vocal hemorrhage. I think we've actually brought it up on here before.
No, we have.
Because of Adele
and Lucy, I have diagnosed her with a vocal hemorrhage because of this point. Precisely.
Yeah, so what happened was, I literally think we talked about it last week, and I just told Liv that I have a vocal hemorrhage this week, and I would name my Glee Club Vocal Hemorrhage after Vocal Adrenaline from Glee. Anyway, niche. We drank this weekend twice, or I at least drank twice.
Speak for yourself, yeah.
And we said this last week on the pod.
We have just, like, these small parts of our personality that we share with you guys over and over and over, and that's all there is to us.
No, literally. And my vocal hemorrhage is now a character trait or a personality trait. Every time I drink, even if I'm not yelling, I lose my voice. Some were called laryngitis. That's what Google said. Because that's apparently just when you lose your voice.
Yeah, it's more of a symptom, though, than a cause, isn't
it? Anyway, but is it? It's kind of hot, eh?
You're kind of sexy.
It kind of fits the theme.
It does, because Luce, we're just going to go straight into it. What depicts your week this week?
Well, I've got a really good one for what depicts my week this week. First of all, you all need to go and do the Culture Vulture survey in the show notes.
Yes,
and then
please,
you can hear about what
as your reward, you can hear about Lucy's week, and it's a bit raunchy. So
go and do it. 3, 2, 1. Make sure you say really nice things about Neon. And the thing that depicts my week is ant pheromones because, okay, it ties in quite a few ways. I've not written anything down.
How I'm just does hoping... ant pheromone tie into, like, anything? Like, don't worry, guys, it's very versatile.
No, don't worry. You can use this in your conversations. So you'll remember a few weeks back, because you're an avid listener, that I said that ants described my week because my room was full of ants, Liv's car was full of ants.
I am ant girl in the group chat.
Ant girl.
Queen of the ants.
We have quite a few ant problems. And then right now I'm for some reason just feeling real horny. Like, I text Liv before we even came here and was like, I don't know if it's because I'm, like, about to go on my period, or, like, because I've had such a random weekend where I have not recovered, not because of sex, just because of drinking.
And, you know, alcohol is an aphrodisiac, right?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not a doctor, but...
You should look it up on Medical News Today, because that's what I've been doing for pheromones.
Yeah, so the reason we say ant pheromones is because last night one of our flatmates, Tom, was like, oh my God, I just hate the smell of ants. Like, honestly, when you squish them, you can just smell their pheromones. And Liv was like to him, I was like, do you know what pheromones are? So, Liv, can you just give us a wee definition?
Well, because, like, in my head, it's like pheromones, that's like about, like, sexual arousal, right? Yeah. It's like the thing that humans give off to each other to,
yes,
like, sexual tension. It's in the room. You can feel it in the pheromones.
If we were sitting opposite Harry Styles in a room and interview
city, because obviously
city.
He would be attracted
from
back. So, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
We absolutely. Yeah. Oh, no.
Can you tell me what it means?
Yeah, well, so when he was saying that about ants, I was just like, I actually think you've got the
Are
wrong
you
end
smelling
of the
their
stick.
Sexual, their sexual aura?
Like, what do you mean? But then it kind of turns out we were both sort of wrong. But
you were right about pheromones.
Well, pheromones in terms of humans are similar to hormones, but they work outside of the body. They induce activity in other individuals, such as sexual arousal. So I was like, yeah.
So they're like
that works
fear
for me.
Hormones.
Yeah, kind of. But then pheromones in general, like not just for humans, are substances which are secreted through the outside of by an individual and received to a second individual of the same species. So he was wrong in every way.
And I feel like you missed that out of the debate last night,
the same species. And then he's like, yeah, but I can smell the pheromones. And it's like, are you an ant?
Are you an ant then? Or do you want to fuck the ant? Or like, what?
Yeah. So then when Lucy was horny, we was like sort of discussing, why are you so horny right now? And it's because of the ant pheromones.
It's because of the ants, because all the ants in our room, they've been squished. Or like, I have noticed less of them. So maybe it's because they've all died, let off their pheromones, and maybe I'm the one attracted to
literally,
ants.
Literally, and then I was sort of like, you need to go on Pete Davidson's dildo.
True. Or I was actually thinking, I'm probably worth the goop. One, the 25-gold one, which again,
I like
is now a
the self value.
Trait.
Yeah, you've got to put value on yourself. You're worth the expensive dildo.
True. Now, Liv, what explains your week, depicts your week?
A little bit more PG than yours. Oh. Get back because, one,
you got back.
We're getting back to real life.
Oh,
right? Because if anyone doesn't
Tamaki
know,
Makoto has got a few
Tamaki
more freedoms.
Tamaki Makoto has gotten out of, well, kind of, we're into the red light stage, so we're no longer locked up. And then also I've been getting my way through Get Back, which is a recommendation or something that I had on my radar for a while, which is the Beatles documentary.
Are you enjoying it?
I'm loving it.
Now,
oh my
is it
God.
About 6 hours or something? Is it really long?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Really long. It's like 8 hours of footage, but wow. They're in three different parts, all like cool. 2.5 hours each or whatever.
I do actually really want to watch that.
I would definitely recommend. I mean, it's very mundane in the sense of like, it's the most candid footage that you can possibly get.
Because Peter Jackson wouldn't have wanted to fuck with it that much because it's so real.
Oh, he's left it so bad boned. It's amazing. And I think there was like 12 hours of footage all up. Mm-hmm. So he's like cut out 4 hours, but you know, there's still fucking a lot to watch.
Yes.
But it's amazing. You see Paul McCartney, like, creating Let It Be.
Wow.
Like, you see him coming up with it. Like, you see George Harrison leaving the band for a few days. Like, you see all of this shit. Like, you see the inner workings, the inside jokes. Like, when he's writing Let It Be, which is obviously one of the Beatles, you know, biggest ever hits.
Bangers.
Yeah. They were talking about how to set up the stage or something for their upcoming concert. And, like, Paul, this was before he was writing it, like, they were discussing with Paul. He was like, oh, go to John. He's more artsy than me. John and Yoko. You see John and Yoko together all the time. Like, it's amazing.
Wow.
Yoko's just sitting there while they're writing songs.
Yeah.
So then the guys, there's lots of people around, you know, all the coordinators, all the sort of managers and whatever. They go to John. They're talking about, you know, the show. And then you can literally hear Paul McCartney writing and singing Let It Be in the background.
And is that
like,
where it's
that's him writing it. Yeah. And they're not even taking notice, and it's hilarious because it's like literally 3 minutes or something of them just sitting there discussing this boring ass shit while one of the best songs in history is being written.
Do you think he was writing it because they were all trying to discuss something and like no one was just letting it be?
Yeah,
like
letting
well,
maybe.
It on, he was just in there
let
being
it
like,
be, guys.
Let me just fucking annotate this with song.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing footage to have.
Amazing. I'm like halfway through the second bit,
wow.
So I'm like three or so hours through, but absolutely recommend.
Get an update from you when you finished it.
Yeah, hopefully you finish it this week.
Cool. Would,
it's just a huge part of history. Mm. And also didn't realise how, I mean, at this stage in time, so this is filmed in, I think, 1969.
Giggity.
So after they're like, what were you going to say?
I said giggity. She's 69.
She's horny. She is horny. Can't get her mind off of it. But yeah, so it was kind of filmed sort of later on in the band's trajectory. I didn't realise how sort of heavy-handed Paul McCartney is, not in a bad way, because I know he got quite a bad rap. He's lovely, like lovely to everyone, but like his sole focus is the music. He is so driven. He's writing shit like left, right and centre.
Wow.
Like he is the driving force.
Yeah.
And you just see it outright.
Yeah. Now, today we're going to be doing, obviously we're doing half Naughty or Nice, half the main event. The main event this week is going to be about the character development of Billie Eilish, which Liv has looked into. We're going to be talking about how she's grown, why maybe this should be her last year of doing it, or like maybe the peaks and the pits of looking back.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, this has sort of been all around the Vanity Fair interview that she has done for the last 5 years consecutively. So yeah, I think it shows a lot about a lot of things. So
yes,
we're going to go into that.
I'm really excited for that. And I am going to get us into Naughty or Nice because I actually have quite a lot to talk about this week. Now, the first story I want to talk about is the lovely Bones author, Alice Sebold, apologising to the man that was wrongly convicted of her rape. So before I get into this, obviously there is going to be mentions of sexual assault and rape. So if you don't want to listen to this, that's absolutely understandable. And maybe skip forward about 5 minutes. And then there are some lighter stories, still about men cheating, but easier to sort of digest. Liv, this is a fucking interesting story. Like, this is a movie in itself. And like, spoiler alert, this is going to be a movie in itself. But this story is wild.
This is very much like a fact is more fucked up than fiction, sort
it
of.
It actually is. So Alice Sebold, who most of us know as the author of The Lovely Bones, she has another book, her first book, which is a memoir, and it's called Lucky. Now, Lucky is about Alice, who in 1981, when she was 18 and a freshman at Syracuse University, was sexually assaulted. So in the book, she detailed what happened and obviously the trauma that followed. And she wrote about the trial, which was in 1982, where she identified Anthony Broadwater, who at the time was a 20-year-old black man who she said was her attacker. She says that she was convinced that 5 months after the assault, she had recognized him on the street. And then she wrote about this whole saga in the book. Now, he was convicted as a result of her obviously going to law enforcement and, you know, getting her story out there and getting, like, what at the time was justice for her. And Anthony Broadwater, who's now 61, he spent 16 years in prison before being released in 1998, and then he obviously had to register as a sex offender, so his life was it was a half life. And so, spoiler, he wasn't the one who sexually assaulted her. And he maintained his innocence throughout the whole time that he was in jail and throughout his whole life.
And really fought to, like,
yeah, as much as you can in that day and age when you're a black man. He never said that he was guilty. He never pleaded guilty. He, you know, maintained his innocence. So in Lucky, in the book, Alice Sebold actually writes about the inconsistencies in her case. Like, she noticed the inconsistencies and she wrote about them. Like, there was a lineup of 5 men in the police station at one point after she had spotted him on the street. And obviously they then line up 5 men to see if you can pick out the person that you think did it, again, to, like, sort of cross-check. She actually picked the wrong person. She picked number 4 when he was number 5, but regardless, they let this sort of slide and were like, we're going to believe you and what you're saying, and you saw this man. And at that time, that was enough. And it was, you know, it was the justice system still isn't and was not the justice system for a wide group of people. And so she actually talked about how she was worried that the defense would perceive her as a panicked white girl who saw a black man on the street and was accusing the wrong man. Like, she already had those worries. She wrote about them, and they were true. She was right to have those worries because it was a bogus case.
That's so interesting because in psych and uni, we did a bit of, like, learning about these sort of tests, the lineups and everything, and just showing how unreliable the human memory is. Like, there was a point,
especially with trauma.
Yes, with trauma. There was even a point in the lecture, like, they got an actor to come in and, like, something would happen in the lecture, like, something weird. And then afterwards she was like, okay, you all have to write down, like, the color of his shirt, the, like, you know, the way he walked in, what he said. And, like, everyone's shit was totally different, even though it happened 5 minutes before. So it's wild to think people having to, you know, look at these lineups and try and remember things and then them base someone's whole, like, life basically off of these decisions. That
and, like, obviously most of the time it's like, I mean, this is one factor of the investigation.
Absolutely.
And other things line up, and you can, like, if you don't remember, that's fine, there'll be all these other things that point to the person. But it's like, in this case, it just, there wasn't enough, obviously, because this, he was not the man. So the way that this all came undone is actually, like, again, really, really interesting, really, really tragic, but really interesting. So one of the executive producers on The film version of Lucky, which was about to be made or was being made at the time, said in an interview with the New York Times that he had started to doubt Alice Siebold's account after reading the memoir and then reading the script for the movie. So the executive producer, who's called Tim, said that he'd been struck by how little evidence was presented at the trial. He said he had been fired from the production after raising questions about the story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he like looked at it, looked at the script and was like, obviously he's looking at it in hindsight, which is a beautiful thing, and was
absolutely.
Like, bro, she was worried about inconsistencies in the case. I'm looking at it now and there is massive inconsistencies.
Yeah, like if this is
case.
All the evidence you've got, like where's the rest?
Exactly. And so the film, the feature film that was being made of Lucky, actually lost its financing and isn't going ahead anymore because obviously everything was up in the air about the actual story. Like no one is denying that she was sexually assaulted, obviously not, but there was much more than met the eye about the case. And so then the executive producer hired a private investigator called Dan Myers, who, after finding and interviewing Mr. Broadwater, became convinced that, yeah, he had been falsely accused. So then they got some lawyers together. They looked at the case. They agreed that it was bogus for the same reasons that Alice wrote about in Lucky. So in their motion to sort of, like, get him exonerated, they hired another lawyer. And then they basically said that the case was totally based on flawed elements, like she couldn't identify him properly, and then what they used was like a now discredited method of hair analysis, like they don't even use it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was just all these things that didn't line up, plus him constantly saying that he was innocent. Turns out he did get exonerated. He got wiped of his charges, which just is like so sad when you're 60 years old.
Because it's just far too little, far too late.
And honestly, he took it with the most amount of grace I've seen. Like, I guess when you maintain your innocence for that long, it would just be a relief. Like, he seemed to have not gotten, like, enraged or, like...
Oh, God, I'm tearing up.
No, I know.
Hearing about this.
Truly. And then another weird sort of turn in this story is that Tim, the executive producer that uncovered this all, is now working on a documentary about the uncovering of this case.
Oh, that's going to be so interesting.
Instead of called Lucky, it's called Unlucky. Oh. And it's like I said to Liv when I was just giving her a rundown of what I was talking about, someone's making money here. Like, you know, regardless of everything, someone's going to make money out of it.
Absolutely.
Like, which is just the world we live in. But this, if done right, and I would say, like, if Anthony's brought into the creation of this, then I would say that it would be, like, something, I don't know, like, should we watch it, should we not? It's probably another discussion.
I guess it highlights, like, how often does this happen without people knowing about it, in the sense of, like, Alice was obviously an author, she had public,
yes,
you know, she was in the public eye, and so her story would obviously, like, what other person would have someone reading the script and be like, hey, this doesn't add up and this doesn't add up. Like, you wonder.
It's like, how many else haven't been cross-referenced, right? In this weird way?
Yes, absolutely. And how many other people convicted through outdated methods and things like this?
But, and that's a huge thing, especially in America, like the Central Park Five, who are all these really young, just black kids in America that got falsely convicted of raping a woman. And all the papers were, like, posting false information. They all, like, went to jail and it wasn't even them, it was just because they were easy to pin it on. And it's like there's these high profile cases, but like this is definitely happening more than exactly like people that aren't cross-referencing a script in a book and like
yeah for sure
really far into it. And so Alice Siebold has apologized for this after it all came out.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that, like, did she comment on all of the happenings?
Yes. So she wrote a big statement and basically said that she really regretted having unwittingly played a part in a system that sent an innocent man to jail. She said, I am sorry most of all for the fact that the life you could have led was unjustly robbed from you. And I know that no apology can change what happened to you and never will. And it's interesting because, I mean, there's so many factors. And first of all, like, it's not an apology for us here to accept or deny. I mean, that's the thing with any, like, public wrongdoings. If it wasn't against us or communities
we're
part of,
just do not know how you would receive that.
It's just not on us to be like, yeah, she did the right thing, or no, she didn't do the right thing. But Mr. Broadwater, Anthony, actually, again, in an interview with the New York Times, said that he was relieved and grateful for this apology. It took a lot of courage, and I guess she's brave and weathering through the storm like I am. To make that statement, it's a strong thing for her to do, understanding that she was a victim and I was a victim too.
That's like, a very empathetic lens.
I know. I watched a lot of videos of him and I just thought, like, he's got so much grace about him.
I guess, like, if you're kind of locked up for that long, you'd have gone through all the phases, right, of, like, anger. And
but I can't believe that he's still, like, kind in his work. I mean, I guess he's, like, choosing how to live his life from now on, and it would be purely with kindness. I mean, I guess that's what he's chosen. The thing is, it's, like, she also will be going through it as well, because she was assaulted, and through this memoir, it was her way of dealing with that and, like, reclaiming what had happened to her. And then on the other hand, like, she ruined this man's life, and so she's dealing with that as well. And it outlines, like, so many injustices and so many, like, jumping to conclusions that happen, like,
absolutely.
Not just in
America. And it's not her job to be consistent. Like, as we said, your memory's not reliable. This is why we have all of these things in place to make sure that...
It's the people running the case.
It's the people running the case. Like, she was a victim. She had trauma. We all know that that fucks with your memory as well. Yeah. So... Yeah,
and like, she's also dealing with the fact that the person that raped her is now walking free.
Absolutely.
And so she thought for all these years that she was safe and, like, you know,
he
they
was
were paying
locked
their dues.
Up. Yeah,
but
so he was obviously a stranger.
Yeah. So she will just be, I don't know, she will be dealing with things, he'll be dealing with things. And for him to say, I recognise that she was a victim too, I just think, like, that's wonderful. The publisher of the book, Lucky, said that they were going to stop distributing the book.
Oh, okay. I was going to, because that would be very interesting to read.
Well, I know, but it's...
But also you don't want to support
And
it.
I wonder if it should be rewritten, or if it should have a forward.
A disclaimer at the start.
Or if that's just... actually not okay for Anthony to have that still in circulation.
Because if people Googled it, you know, you don't actually know what would come up.
Sales would be going fucking through the roof right now, which is so bad. But then actually knowing that it wasn't him, because when she was describing the trial and everything, she didn't use his real name or anything.
Okay.
So I don't know. That's really interesting. It'll be interesting to see what her inconsistencies were, like what she actually wrote verbatim about the case. So, yeah, I mean... We call this section naughty or nice. This feels like a bit big of, I guess if we're trying to look at it positively, I'm really happy that he's free and that he's feeling like he can still walk with kindness.
I guess it feels a bit reductive to put it in naughty or nice.
That's what I have written here. It's like, I don't really want to put this in naughty or nice. If I want to look at it in one way, it's for him, but then it's for her as well. It's like, I don't know. It's a very complicated story, but one that's very fascinating.
Hugely.
And before I looked into it, like, I can't believe that I'd skim read a few articles, but I didn't realise the breadth of the story. Anyway, and now we're going to come at you with something a little bit more sugary. Now, this is from the Daily Mail, so I want everyone to take this with a heaped tablespoon of salt. Know that the story is probably true because of the person in question, but know that the details...
probably pretty fictitious.
Fictitious.
Yeah, hyperbolized.
But maybe they just shouldn't have been leaked. There's, like, text messages and shit. Like, it's like, maybe they're just... like, not for us to see, you know, or the hyperbolized. Anyway, here's the headline. Tristan Thompson insisted personal trainer lover get an abortion and offered her $75,000 in hush money after she became pregnant with his child while he was still dating Khloe Kardashian.
Tristan. He is just...
He's a piece of shit.
He's just dug himself the hole and it just keeps getting
fucking...
He keeps
cheating on Khloe, like one of the most famous people in the world. I just think...
How does he think he's going to get away with it?
I do not know. And it's like...
Well, he's probably
cheated
like 10 times more, you know,
than
we know. And he has gotten away with some of it. But fucking hell.
I feel like he's gotten away with all of it up to this point. Mm. And I'm like, we're not here to shit on Khloe for tech. Because, you know, you do what you do. Your life.
You're in love with who you're in love with, not
that
place.
You can't help how you're feeling. Like, it's...
And you've got a child in the mix.
Exactly. So it's complicated. But Tristan Thompson, we're here to tell you, you're a piece of shit. So I'm just going to read this article a little bit. The DailyMail.com exclusively revealed on Friday that Tristan is set to become a father for the third time following an alleged fling with Maralee Nichols, who's 31. According to bombshell documents obtained by the DailyMail.com, the baby was conceived in Houston, Texas during Thompson's 30th birthday celebrations while he was still dating Chloe, who he has a child with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's since moved to LA, the woman that he had this affair with, and she's basically suing him, I think that's pretty, clarified, for child support, as well as reimbursement for medical expenses and pregnancy related costs. She has also filed to submit text messages between her and Tristan Thompson as evidence for her paternity lawsuit. Told her, go and get a paternity test.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Showing that allegedly showing that he wanted her to get an abortion. That's what Page Six reported. Apparently, I've never been on live TV before. No, apparently, the communication between the two show Thompson addressing the party's relationship and insisting that she gets an abortion and threatening her that she will get next to nothing with lesser support requirements in Texas. God, he sounds like a piece of shit. In a copy of a shocking text message obtained by Radar, he allegedly offers Nichols $75,000 to keep quiet and warns that he is retiring after the NBA season and would therefore be unemployed, so therefore wouldn't be able to pay.
Oh, no, get out.
Actuals, get out. So again,
Tristan Thompson,
get
out. And
if we only take one thing from this, it's that he probably has cheated. It's probably his kid.
There's just another
we don't owe him benefit of doubt really in this scenario. So
I mean, no,
if this is false,
he has been through the fucking. I mean,
he's put
his own. He's self-made ringer.
He's put himself through the ringer. Now, is that phrase from the old-fashioned washing machine that you'd like? It's like those, and I mean, drying might be washing machine or drying thing where it's like those two things that you wring it out and you wheel.
Oh,
it through
look,
it,
you might be right. I had no clue.
I might have to put that on the Instagram story.
Yeah, mundane poll. Is this right? Yes or no?
And just lastly, on Tristan Thompson, Khloe Kardashian. People are saying, and I might be people, but I don't know, that if this is Kris Jenner who's done the Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian, the Courtney and Travis playing up all this stuff, and now this Tristan Thompson story, if she's leaking this shit,
if she's a fucking mastermind behind all of this,
to get it away from Astroworld,
it's evil. That's what I think.
You think it's it's evil because she's doing it to. Well, we don't know.
But if it was anything else, I get it. Say someone else leaked another sex tape and they were trying to get it away from that. Get that, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's Astroworld. You can't just get away from that scandal. People have lost their lives.
Not a scandal.
Cover it up with sugar.
It's a crime.
Yeah, I totally understand that she's a fucking fantastic businesswoman, but. Fuck, she does a lot of damage.
She's trying to cover up a lot of damage as well and via, throwing her kids under the bus.
Yes, just throwing it left, right, and centre.
But then again, I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either. I know conspiracy theory, but...
Yeah, but if it is true. Anyway, that's just naughty. That whole thing, naughty.
Oh, yeah,
obviously.
Nothing nice about that.
And then a cheating scandal that's made me very upset this week is Anthony Ramos, who... cheated allegedly on Jasmine Cephas Jones, who was supposed to be the couple of my life, and we
what together for 6 years or
together
something
together for
wild.
So long. Mm-hmm. Meet on the set of Hamilton, which is just I did go through a very obsessive phase with Hamilton, and it's they were so in love, right up until the way it came out is on TikTok, a video went viral of allegedly him in a strip club with another woman who wasn't Jasmine Cephas Jones. And then him and Jasmine were engaged. They'd just sent out their wedding invites and then they broke up very quickly.
It was
after.
A classic member of the public who was serving them or something, saw him with the girl and hang on a second, recognize that guy.
Let me just do a quick Google. Who are you? It's really ironic because, Jasmine sings that song about cheating in Hamilton, tell me how to say no to this.
Oh, it's like foreshadowing.
So, no, it's so ironic. Or just like, oh, I'm really sad. I'm really disappointed. She's so hot. She deserves the world.
It's so gutting when it's like someone so wholesome and such a beautiful couple that
like that just gassed each other up.
So stupid. Why would you go in public with the person? You're famous.
That's what I don't
like,
get.
You're
Tristan
quite
Thompson
famous.
And him should fucking go to an island, like talk this out. Like,
yeah,
why
exactly.
Do that,
why do we do that? Why do we think that we can get away with this shit? Because you cannot.
I know. So when they got engaged, just as a little tidbit, Lin-Manuel Miranda, who obviously is the mastermind behind Hamilton,
everything.
He tweeted, first table read, Hamilton, 2015. Anthony keeps sneaking glances at our newest cast member, Jasmine. Me. Ruh-roh. He is notoriously cringe as well. That's
what, like, as well as us, or no, as well no. as
he's the cringe as well as being the mastermind behind Hamilton.
Okay. No, you meant like he's in this club too.
But yeah. Look, Liv, all masterminds have a little bit of cringe, I reckon.
Oh, it's best.
If we're basing it on us.
I think so, because we
and they have a little
are.
Bit of sweetiness, I would say.
Or it's glowing.
I know.
You can see it under your eyes and your glasses.
How's my black eye looking? Should we give the people
oh, much up? Better. Almost gone.
Been 2 fucking weeks.
I know. Honestly, now it's just sort of like you got a little bit of blush that's quite concentrated on. Yeah.
No, so that's obviously naughty.
Mm. Oh, like, very.
Very, very naughty.
Naughty and fucking stupid.
Naughty
to be
and
honest.
Stupid, but like, God, me and I. Anyway, I'm very excited to stop talking about people who are cheating on each other and start talking about the character development of Billie Eilish. But look, guys, not before we hear from our sponsors. So, you all heard last week, me and Liv realised on mic and in the ad we recorded for last week that The Office and Parks and Rec are on Neon, and I'm still shook. I'm still shook that we didn't know that before now or before last week.
But honestly, Lucy, it's like the world knew that we had so much shit to do leading up to Christmas that they were like, these bitches do not have time to watch these shows.
You know, that, to be honest, that is really true, and over Christmas I am going to make the time because priorities. You guys know that we love Neon. We say it all the time. They're literally the reason that Culture Vulture exists and are the reason that you get us, lucky you, in your ears right now. So you must love them by default.
And we've just actually released a survey all about Culture Vulture, and we would absolutely love for you to go and fill it out. It really, really helps us with this job, with Neon and them supporting us. So please help girl out.
Help a girl out. Have some gals out there just trying to pay their rent. Anyway, in case you couldn't tell, Neon, our favourite New Zealand-based streaming service. Best part is 14 days free, because we all love free stuff, and you should definitely go and sign up for them and, like, watch The Office or Parks and Rec or whatever.
Please do, and there's, like, honestly, so many
so
great
much.
Shows, so many great movies. We were shocked, and thank you, Neon, for making this job a reality. Couldn't do it without you.
Shot, Neon.
Thank you.
I hate to do this to you all, but if you want to hear the rest, which I know you do, head over to Culture Vulture wherever you get your podcasts. Love you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.